Last week, we started a series, Worship Jesus with Gifts. As I contemplated this series, having, you know, been in church since I was in the womb, I asked God to show me what was the significance of these three gifts that the wise men, which some call kings, brought to Jesus: the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. And last week we talked about gold, this wrapped box representing one cubic foot of gold, which at the price of gold last week was worth 54 million Canadian dollars. This week it's only worth 51. The price of gold went down this week. So if you'd invested in that, you just lost $3 million. But gold does bounce in value. Incredible amount of gold. This would have weighed 1,200 pounds if it was pure gold, and so many ounces. And of course, for those days, there was probably small wafers or bars that they would use, or as it was, as we read, when those who were royal came to visit other royals, they would bring immense amounts of gold as a statement of honor to those who had authority. And so we learned about many, many pounds, equivalent pounds of gold that was brought to Solomon and to others as a result of their position. It represented kingship. It's a result of that precious gift being given to those who are in authority. And of course, kings in those days were the great authority. But here we have a little baby, and these three wise men or kings came to bring a gift of honor to what they saw was a king, the little baby Jesus, who one day, the Bible says, will rule the world as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so they brought this very valuable gift to them. It wasn't currency in the day, because silver was the predominant metal that was used to produce currency, but it was a statement of honor. Yes, it had wealth, but boy, oh boy, today as we think about how does that relate to us? So we talked last week about how the different characteristics of gold can be applied to our life in a way that we may not have bars or ounces or pounds of gold to give our king, but we have the characteristics of gold: flexibility, purity, using our talents to bring him honor. Those are the elements of practical application we can draw from that gift and say, I'm going to honor my King Jesus with the valuable talents and the valuable qualities that he's put in my life. Purity says, I've got an aversion to sin. I don't want to sin. I don't want to be rigid. I want to be flexible. They say that if you have pure gold, you can actually mold it with your hands almost like Play-Doh. That's how flexible it becomes. And so we have that attribute that we can bring in our lives to our King. Now today we're going to talk about frankincense. Some little facts about frankincense. I brought some along today. This is what we call frankincense resin. It doesn't really smell. It's just kind of like gum. You can chew it. I had some this week. I won't start now because it sticks to your teeth. But you can chew it. It's very healthy for you. It comes from the Boswellia tree, of which there are five different varieties. If you want to buy this, it's $35 a pound. Okay, right now in today's dollars. And that's a product from which you can use it in various ways. You can either let it harden as it's exposed to the air. You can leave it as resin and keep it sealed, and it'll stay gummy. Or you can steam it, and out of it you'll get oil. This is frankincense oil. It has a very, very strong aromatic quality, and all of it is very healthy. This little bottle of sacred frankincense oil. Anybody want to guess what it's worth? It's 15 milliliters. No, it's a little high. No, it's not. 150 Canadian dollars. This little bottle, 150 retail Canadian dollars. Very, very expensive. Frankincense is drawn from the Boswellia tree by them cutting the bark, and out of that cut, the tree oozes a mixture of sap and resin. If you let it sit out, you can separate the sap from the resin, and then with the resin, you can bring it into the different uses that we've talked about. It's very healthy for you, many different ways. Right now, if you wanted to go find some in the raw, you'd have to go to either Arabia, India, or Africa. In the days of Jesus, most likely it came from Arabia or India. There are many different medical uses for frankincense. We're going to talk about some of the other uses in a little bit here, but it's a natural skincare product. It's anti-aging because it tends to shrink the skin cells and bring out that, you know, the wrinkles and the sags that we sometimes get. Well, it's very healthy for bringing that skin back to a lifting life. It's also very anti-inflammatory. People use it for pain with arthritis. There you see the picture of the tree on the left with the bark cut open and how they call it frankincense tears as it comes out of the tree, that resin sap oozing out of there. It's anti-inflammatory. People use it for arthritis. It can help with your breathing because it relaxes. If you'd use the, how much do you want me to relax right now? Yeah, it really relaxes you. And you actually, they say it's very helpful if going, if you want to diffuse it. It's helpful for sleep disorders. If you have trouble getting to sleep at night, put it in a diffuser and away you go. Tremendous benefits from it. It's a mood booster. It's useful in hair care. They say that if you mix a small amount into your shampoo, you know the expense, it'll cure dandruff. There's a number of other skin-related things it'll do. It's useful as a household cleaner. It's a disinfectant, a good antiseptic. Has many, many practical, valuable applications in our life. If you want to afterwards, feel free to come up and give it a little smell. If you want to try chewing a little chunk of it, I'm fine with that. You can try chewing a little chunk. Just remember that it's going to stick to your teeth for a while, so have a little toothpick or something. You'll get the oils out of it as you chew it. They say that it's edible, just like gold is edible in its pure form. They say if you have dark chunks of resin, the very dark, this is not dark, but the dark stuff you shouldn't eat. I'm not giving health advice here, okay? I'm just saying this is what the research tells me. It is what you can do with it. What am I going to do with this? I'm probably going to keep chewing it. Yeah, it's good for your digestive tract. It's very, very healthy for you. So they brought gifts of frankincense. Frankincense was also very well known to be used in Bible times. Let's take a look at some of the things that we see the word frankincense or its function directed to us in the scriptures. Exodus chapter 30. How was frankincense used in the Bible? Exodus chapter 30. Old Testament instructions. The items that were used in the place of worship, the tabernacle, as it was built by God's direction through Moses and his associates. It says there in the first verse of Exodus 30, "And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense. Upon of shittim wood shalt thou make it, a cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. Four square shall it be, so it was a square, and two cubits shall be the height thereof, the horns thereof shall be of the same. Thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof and the sides thereof round about and the horns thereof. And then thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about. And two golden rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it. By the two corners thereof upon the two sides of it shalt thou make it. And they shall be for places for the staves to carry it withal. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony where I will meet with you. And I don't have the time to get into the whole layout of the tabernacle and how worship was proceeding through it. But this was a place in which incense was burned just before that place in which God's presence was there by his cloud. And we'll learn more about that in a minute. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresses the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at evening, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. And if you turn over to verse 34, what is this incense he's burning? And we have the recipe right here in Exodus chapter 30. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto these sweet spices, stacte and onycha and galbanum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense, of each shall there be a like weight. So similar weights of each of these spices, mix it together. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation where I will meet with thee. And it shall be unto you most holy. So holy, watch this. As for the pure perfume which thou shalt make, you shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that, to smell thereto, shall even be cut off from his people. So that mixture, that recipe that's given, it was to be sacred, set apart for God's use only. And if someone decided to make some of it for their own personal use, they would be cut off. They would be, you know, removed from the people. That's how serious God was about it. That's not each in their own use. Frankincense by itself is fine. But the recipe that they followed to make the incense that was burned in the tabernacle was only for God's purposes. That's what the word holy means, set apart for God. So, some really interesting uses. Obviously, frankincense was part of the ceremonial worship experience. We see more of that as we go to Leviticus chapter 2. And there we see what we call the grain offering. And in the King James, it talks about a meat offering. Well, meat wasn't necessarily pork, chicken, or beef, it was food. That's what the word in the Hebrew meant, food, a food offering. And when thou shalt, Leviticus chapter 2, verse 1, and when any will offer a meat or grain offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour. So we're talking about ground grain, and he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and he shall take thereof his handful of the flour thereof and of the oil thereof with all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. And the remnant of the offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. So what is left was to be consumed as a gift to the priests. But it first was given as a burnt offering to the Lord. Now, I'm told that if you burn frankincense, the aroma is unbelievable. I guess if you put it in one of those little candle diffusers, you could have that experience with frankincense. But here it was prescribed by God as a statement of worship to God. Then over to verse 14 and 16. And if thou offer a meat or grain offering of thy first fruits unto the Lord, thou shalt offer for the meat offering of thy first fruits green ears of corn, dried by the fire, and even corn beaten out of full ears, and thou shalt put oil upon it and lay frankincense thereon. So oil would be the olive oil. And it is a meat or grain offering. The priest shall burn the memorial of it, part of the beaten corn thereof and part of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Getting the picture here? Leviticus chapter 5, verse 11. Watch this. This is regarding a burnt offering, which is one offering that God prescribed as a point of confession of our sin. But if he not be able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he that sins shall bring for his offering the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. Ephah, couple quarts. He shall put no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense thereof, for it is a sin offering. Never was to be frankincense added to a sin offering. Because frankincense was set apart as a statement of sweet fellowship with God, a worship in fellowship of God. Leviticus chapter 24. Are you seeing the picture here of how God prescribed things? I mean, he's the creator. Here's the instruction manual, how to use what he has created. Leviticus chapter 24, verses 5 through 9. And thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. Maybe you could put a picture up of that one, Roland. 2/10 deal shall be in one cake. And thou shalt set them in two rows, six in a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and thou shalt eat it in the holy place, for it is most holy unto him, of the offerings of the Lord made by fire by a perpetual statute. Now the picture. You're going to see here two rows of six loaves of bread, effectively. There it is. That's the table of showbread. And each of these loaves represented one of the tribes of Israel. And it was a statement of how their trust was in God to provide for them. And it was out of that sweet relationship of trust and God's perpetual provision that frankincense, again, represented a statement of worship. Worship. Frankincense on it. They were baked in the fire ovens. And then they were presented there. And every Sabbath, once a week, they would refresh them. And when they took the old bread off, that was for Aaron and his priests to have to eat. God gave it as a gift to them. Interesting thing about frankincense also in the scripture is that it's spoken about in the Song of Solomon. You know that book of the Bible that's 13 plus or 18 plus or whatever you want to feel sensitive to call it? It's not a mistake, it's there. God is the author of love. He knows purity of love. And in this little verse there in verse 6, it speaks about how frankincense is part of the perfume, which can be very meaningful in a loving relationship. Who is that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? And I could go on, but you can get the picture. How frankincense was very much prescribed by God to be something greatly pleasant, speaking about sweet relationship. And here we have these wise men coming and bringing this as a gift to what they saw as a future king. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? Right? And it's this picture of sweet relationship, of healing powers, of a practical application for bringing life and health. What does frankincense represent in the gift to Jesus by the wise men? I'm going through your outline here. It represents his priesthood. Last week we talked about gold and it represented his kingship. This week it represents his priesthood. And we'll see how that applies. The sweetness of his mercy. The sweetness of his mercy. Gift of beautiful fragrance to the divine Son of God. It's a faith-based gift, as it was for those wise men. What a faith step for them to have taken the trip of 2 years to come and visit this little child and make a statement that he is your future king. Wow. Faith ran deep in their hearts. They were convinced. A faith-based gift to our Creator, our Sustainer, our loving Redeemer, worshiped as Lord of our lives. What question does the gift of frankincense call us to answer? I was touched by this. What's your relationship based on? And I'm not just talking about your relationship with God, although that's the first one. What are your other relationships in life based on? Is the Lord a need or a longing in your life? Many of our relationships, even on the human level, can be based purely on needs. I need that Amazon delivery guy this season. Do I really get to know him? No. We need those clerks in the retail stores for the service they offer us. But do we really get to know them? I tried this week when we were in a few retail places, and it's a little early, but I, Merry Christmas to you. And I saw them go, yeah, Merry Christmas. You know how busy we are? Just get through that long line and get the transaction done and get out the door and get on to the next thing and the next thing. Not very deep relationships, are they? And so much of our life relationship can be built on needs only. And what frankincense is saying is, Lord, I worship you because you have been so good to me, and now it's past the level of needs. It's now into I long to know you. Is that where you're at in your marriage? Is that where you're at in terms of your kids or your parents? Is it only needs? Well, if there's food in the fridge, I'm glad my parents are here. But if there's no food in the fridge, what's going on? You know what I mean? And so often in our life, we forget to stop and ask ourselves, am I only basing my relationships with people on needs? Even an employer. Well, I do the work he pays me, that's it. Is that all it is? Is there any interest to get to know the employer as a person? What's going on in your life? What are you struggling with? How can I pray for you? What are things that burden you? There's a lot of times in life where we feel somewhat empty and hollow because I don't think we've really explored deeply enough our relationships. I reflected again this week in my own life of tomorrow it's our anniversary, 41 years. And I reflected how blessed I am to have the wife that I have. She was an answer to prayer. And I have to begin asking myself, am I only basing my relationship on her needs? Well, she cooks my food. She helps clean the house. No. I want to know her. I want to know her. God has gifted her with perspective and talents and understanding I don't have. And I would get joy from discovering that about her. Each of my kids are built beautifully by God with unique qualities. How well do I know them? Well, I think I do. But as you know, people change. We mature. We develop. We become different than we were when we were 2 and 6 and 8 and 10. And we could explore what God is doing in their lives. I want to know them. I don't know what that says to you, but it convicted me. How well do I take the effort, just on the human level, to get to really know the people that are in my life? And then certainly on the spiritual level, God, thank you for the job. God, thank you for helping me get my car fixed. God, thank you for health. And you know, we can just thank God because he supplied our needs. But how much do we really spend time just saying, Lord, through his word, I want to know you. I want to see how you worked with humanity throughout all of history, which is recorded for us in this book. Get to know him. His heart, his burdens. What do you think God's burdened about right now? What do you think God's would be delighted to see happen if man would just yield? Get to know God. Have a journey of exploration with understanding God's heart. And I believe frankincense calls us to that. It's interesting to note that in that chapter I've got there, Leviticus chapter 16, verse 11 to 13, once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest was to go and have his own personal sin offering before God, where he confessed his sin, he confessed the sins of the nation of Israel. And on that day, it's the most somber day of the entire year in God's prescribed feasts and celebrations. And once he's completed that sin offering, it says there that he takes a vial of incense and he goes into the Holy of Holies, and on that mercy seat, he pours it out and it's burnt. And the fragrance of the wonder of this beautiful smell fills the Holy of Holies. It says we enjoy the mercies of God that have brought wonderful relief. First, we confess our sin. He grants to us forgiveness by his mercy, and out of that mercy comes sweet fellowship. It's just like, not just like, on a lesser level, when two people are fighting and they make up. Oh, feels good again. And that's what it does, once a year. And those beautiful smells of fragrance from frankincense exemplified the wonder of the relationship that the nation of Israel could once again have as their status with God. Check out your relationships with the Lord and others. Is the priority of that other person meeting your needs? Or is it longing to know and be with that person? My wife was doing artwork at the kitchen table. I was watching TV. And this was on my mind. And I sat there, and after a little while, I said, Fran, I'm feeling lonely over here. Do you like watching TV alone? I don't. And I realized one of us had to move. So I went over and sat at the table and did some Sudoku with her in one of the evenings. Did my Sudoku, and she did her artwork. But we were close. I don't know how you're looking at your relationships, but today, frankincense challenges you to say, could I go deeper in my relationships? Could I go deeper in my relationship with the Lord? Could I go deeper in my relationship with my spouse, with my kids, with my parents, with my employer, with my employees? Could I go deeper? How do you know? James chapter 4, let me read this first. James chapter 4 gives us some good instruction. James chapter 4, verse 8, and I'm going to go right through to verse 10. It says there, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You know what the number one disgusting sin is to God? Pride. Pride. And he says, humble yourself. Acknowledge your need. Acknowledge your state. I felt a little vulnerable saying to my wife, I'm feeling lonely over here. I need you. I want to be with you. Is that manly? Right? Humble ourselves. God, I need you. Not just for you to feed me, but I need you because you somehow fill my soul with meaning and purpose. Then the way we test it, how do we know whether we're just needs-based or longing-based in our relationships? Watch this. How consistent is gratitude and praise in your communication with God and others, even in tough times? I want to give you a couple examples. I'm kind of bouncing around on my outline here a bit, but the life of Enoch. Enoch was very much in the first world, a patriarch, a man of faith, and I want to set him up as an example to you. Enoch was an interesting fellow because it says there in Genesis chapter 5, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. That's a statement of longing, not just needs. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not. For God took him. So he's on his walk with God, and God says, well, rather than you going back home, why don't you just come home with me? There's a little phrase that blessed my heart with regards to marriage. I share it with you. Life as married partners is really nothing more than walking each other home. Isn't that true? We're walking each other home. And Enoch walked with God, and all of a sudden, God just took him home. Beautiful picture. What a relationship. What a closeness. Hebrews chapter 11 gives us further insight. Chapter 11, verse 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated. I think in Star Trek we have the transporter room. Well, this is translated, similar. That he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. This morning in our devotional, if you read our daily bread, there was a beautiful little devotional that we read together about how God whispers his secret solutions to those that are closest to him. God gives you solutions to the needs of your life as you walk and are close to him. Draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. And when we have that fellowship with God, we share our burdens and he goes, hey, well, did you think about this? Well, try that. Well, as we get close to God, he begins to commune with us and we begin to get his wisdom and his insight and his life solutions brought to our hearts. Oh, that's the reward, that walking with God. And then Jude 14-16. You know, this is kind of the contrast that we have, that we can see from Scripture about the two. Are we needs-based or are we longing-based, relationship-based? Jude chapter 1, there's only one chapter, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage for what I can get out of it. Are your friendships, are your relationships based on what I can get out of it? Or is it what will be the joy of blessing another person, communing with another person, starting with the Lord? And then another example is Job. I'm not going to read the whole story of Job, but you know the story of Job and how he was blessed beyond the norm in his day with great wealth. And Satan came along and said, you know, you think Job is so loyal to you, God, but just give me a chance and I'll prove otherwise. I'll test him. And God said, you know, you're on. You're on. And it says there, within one day, Job lost his, what did he have here? 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household of servants. He was the greatest of all the men of the East. I guess it would be like a Bezos or an Elon Musk today. Great wealth, great empire. And in one day, gone. Raiders came in, took it. Even his 10 children died in a house collapse. Boom. Whoa. What would that do to your heart? I'll be honest, I get upset when I have a flat tire. Or someone dings my car door in the parking lot. Oh, come on. How did Job respond? Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Forgive me, Lord, I have. You ever charged God foolishly? Blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives, he takes away. That's not important. I entered naked. Yeah, we put clothes on when someone's at the end of life, but really it's the spirit that goes into the presence of the Lord. I think it's a beautiful example of how we are to respond when we have that wonderful longing to know God rather than just have him provide us material or health-related things. Revelation chapter 5. I move quickly to bring further application to this. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. It says there, and when he had taken the book... This is in the throne room of heaven. We'd taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, Jesus Christ, having every one of them of harps and golden vials full of odors or incense, which are the prayers of the saints. The incense, from a spiritual perspective, are the prayers of the saints. Those who are in right relationship with God, their prayers come up like incense before him. You ever think of that when you're praying? You're a diffuser. You're bringing beautiful incense to our God. Psalm 141. Prayers. Probably the hardest function in our spiritual disciplines, unless it comes out of a desire to know and long to be with God. Let my prayer be set forth before thee, the psalmist says, as incense, and the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. The psalmist was taking what was happening in the tabernacle, in the altar, and all those places, and he was bringing it into his own personal life, and he was saying, let my little time of prayer with you, O God, be that incense. Lifting up of my hands be that altar of worship. Frankincense. Very, very expensive. But even more valuable than money to God. I leave you with this. We are challenged to offer our life as a fragrant sacrifice to God. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. This priesthood book of the Bible. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He is our high priest. Wise men worshiped him as our high priest. He makes our relationship with God possible. He died and paid the penalty for our sin. He calls on us to offer our life like he offered his. Ephesians chapter 5. I don't know where you're at in your own understanding of God. Maybe you're at the level where you're saying, you know what, I hate God. I want nothing to do with God. Much of our culture is there today. Or maybe you're saying, you know, I'm apathetic. I could take it or leave it. You know, God is, yeah, okay, maybe he's there. Maybe you have a real hunger. Who is this God? I'd like to hear more about it. Or maybe you've made that decision in your life. I accepted Christ as my Savior. I confessed my sins many years ago or recently. And I'm just too busy. I just don't have a lot of time. You know, I'm busy with this and that. I love God. In my head, I love God. But I don't really spend a lot of time in prayer. I don't really spend a lot of time reading his word to get to know him. Or maybe you're at a stage where you're saying, man, I want to know the Lord. I want to be like Enoch. I want to be walking with God so close that when my time comes to leave this earth, it's just like we just kept walking. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Ephesians chapter 5. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. And walk in love, just like, if I can paraphrase, as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He offered himself. And he's inviting us to be followers in similar life sacrifice. Offer your life as a sweet-smelling savor to God. Being flexible, being pure, and being in beautiful relationship. And that will make your life have purpose and meaning. And it's way better than stuff. Amen? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for sending us your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us, for following the will of your Father and offering your life as a statement of worship to God the Father. And Lord, we ask again for your mercy. And we celebrate it by saying, let you just be the Lord of my life. I offer my life sacrificially to you for whatever it is that you need me for, what you want from me, and what you would love to do with and through me. Today, I don't know, oh God, where relationships are at. Lord, would you help us to grow from just being needs-based to where we have a longing to love, to know, to be in the presence of one another in our homes and in your body. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.